Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online is in for Jim today. And Kevin, our good martini today goes to a guy we've talked about a lot in this podcast, but not too much recently about what he's actually doing in his current job. And that's New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Of course, a lot of folks want him to run for president. He has said in as many different ways as definitively as possible that he's not interested in running this time around. But what he is doing what he promised to do when he was elected governor in the fall of 2009, and that's trying to get the state's fiscal house in order in New Jersey. And one of the big cogs in doing that is getting union workers to pay more for the cost of their health care benefits. And so far, it looks like he's doing that extremely well, getting it through the state Senate by a pretty comfortable vote. The process is not done yet, but it's looking good because you even have several Democrats now coming along with Republicans to get this done. And so it's kind of refreshing to actually see a guy not only doing what he promised to do, but doing so in a very Democratic state.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure to watch Chris Christie work. He's getting things done that you would not expect a Republican governor in many states to be able to get done, but much less in New Jersey. What was the vote on that thing? Was it 25-14, something like that?
24-15 with 8 Democrats joining the 15 Republicans.
Right, so it wasn't even just, just one of those barely squeaker kind of things. You know, dealing with the public employees unions is going to be one of the top jobs of governors of both parties for the next 5-10 years because they are going to bankrupt the states. Their pensions, their health care costs, even their salaries, those things, although the salaries are really the least of the concerns, are going to prove a huge, huge challenge for state governments and state budgets. Well, I mean, already now, but certainly in the near future, particularly when these pension bills really, really start to come due. So I think Christie is really setting an example of how you get it done. You know, and he didn't bite off too much. You know, he didn't try to make New Jersey into a right-to-work state. He didn't try to, abolish their collective bargaining rights or any of that sort of stuff. But he took off the part that you can get done, which is say, okay, we're still going to have these benefits and you want them, fine, but you're going to pay for them, or at least you're going to pay a little more for them. And I think that's a wise and civil and conservative way to proceed.
And the interesting thing here is you read deeper into the story. This is the quote from the state Senate president, Stephen Sweeney. Quote, "The time for political calculations is over. The time for passing the buck to someone else is over. This is the Democratic leader of the state Senate. If only a few leaders from the Democratic side here in Washington would actually own up to something like that." I don't know anything about Mr. Sweeney other than that statement and whether he's good or bad normally, but a little bit more of that on the national level would go a long way.
Well, you know, you've actually seen, I think, in a lot of state governments, both Democrats and Republicans, sort of getting religion about the issue of the way their budgets look. And the reason for this, of course, is that the states can't really run deficits the way that Washington does. They can't really run up their debts the way Washington does. So they have to deal with stuff on a little earlier time horizon than people in the federal government do. But once the bond market steps in and starts to beat the hell out of the Treasury, you'll hear the same thing from Democrats in Washington, but it'll only be for the same reason, because they no longer have any choices.
So not so much as seeing the light as in having no other choice, I guess, is the best way to look at that. On to another point in New Jersey, just in the shadow of Liberty Island, reminiscent of a few different campaign announcements. Today, the big announcement came, no surprise, from former Utah governor and former ambassador to China, John Huntsman.
"We're not just choosing new leaders. We're choosing whether we're to be yesterday's story or tomorrow's. Everything is at stake. This is the hour when we choose our future. I'm John Huntsman, and I'm running for president of the United States. Thank you all."
So John Huntsman is now the 8th person officially in this race. Kevin, he's got good points and bad points. He's extremely popular in Utah. He's laser-focused on the economy. At the same time, though, a lot of folks are not happy that he's probably one of the most moderate people in this race on social issues. And perhaps most importantly, the fact that he seemed to have a very strong working relationship with President Obama in those 2.5 years that he was the ambassador to China. This could potentially be, I guess, a situation where he knows how to take on Obama better than anyone else, and he knows more about dealing with and confronting Obama than anyone else. But the fact that they apparently were that cozy for that long, I think is a pretty steep climb for a lot of base conservatives and base Republicans to deal with.
You know, Ramesh Panuru had a good observation about this a couple of weeks ago, which is the fact that Huntsman is seen as the, outlier moderate candidate really says something good about how far we've been able to move the Republican Party to the right. Because, 20 years ago, John Huntsman would have been pretty far on the right side of the party or 25 years ago. You know, his views on, say, gay marriage are pretty moderate, but his views on abortion are very credible and very strong, certainly more so than, say, Mitt Romney. He's been consistently pro-life, which is, to me, a much, much more important social issue than gay marriage, although not that I don't care about that one. You know, Huntsman, having served in the Obama administration, I like the fact that he was ambassador to China. You know, our relationship with the Chinese is going to be a huge, huge factor militarily and economically in the future, and someone who actually knows a little bit about it would be welcome to have there. I mean, a lot of conservatives get bent out of shape by the fact that he took an appointment from the Obama administration and that he wasn't a jerk about it, you know, that he praised the president and did what he needed to do. You know, Jack Fowler, who's the publisher of National Review, serves on the judging panel for the White House Fellows Program. So he's technically an Obama appointee, too. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to happen to somebody. You know, Huntsman is very credible on the fiscal stuff. I like him on that a lot. You know, do I wish he were rhetorically a little more forceful? Yeah, I do. Do I wish that he had a slightly more consistent record, particularly when it comes to things like the stimulus? Yeah, I wish he had. When it came to the stimulus, he was a wussy governor type who said, yeah, send me all the money you got. Send me more. And I certainly dislike that about him. And that's the thing that's the biggest shortcoming on his record as far as I'm concerned. But the fact that he served in the Obama administration as ambassador to China, I think that should weigh in his favor and not against him.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. Certainly a lot of strong opinions before they really get a chance to hear or see him much. We're obviously going to see much more of him as he launches this campaign and has almost endless money to fund it. So expect him to be a major player here very shortly on the scene.
Nice when Dad's a billionaire, isn't it?
It doesn't hurt when you're running for president, that's for sure.
It doesn't hurt.
On to martini number three now. And Kevin, it was just last week that we had this huge row between Congress and the White House over the situation in Libya, more and more people demanding that the president comply with the War Powers Act, the president saying, this isn't even a war, there really aren't hostilities. Yet now we find out that American service members involved in the Libya mission, despite not being in any danger apparently, are receiving imminent danger pay. So this is getting worse and worse for the president to try and defend, especially in the last few days we learned out he has not only thumbed his nose at Congress, but he's actually thumbing his nose at two of his highest-ranking lawyers who also told him he needed to comply with the War Powers Act, which is something that Republicans and conservatives generally don't like. But in terms of Obama versus the growing tide here, it looks like he's increasingly standing alone.
Yeah, you know, I don't know who's in charge of Libya policy over at the White House, but I'm pretty sure it's Joseph Heller who wrote Catch-22, because it is so full of contradictions and implausibilities. And if it's not Joseph Heller, it's Franz Kafka. Because it is such a mess. You know, we're trying to accidentally kill Gaddafi, but we're also ready to bomb the other side. But we're not really at war. So we're not having hostilities, but we're killing lots of people and dropping bombs on stuff and shooting at things. So I don't see how you get from that to there's no hostilities, because they are shooting back. I mean, they're not very good at it, but they're doing the best they can. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And this is the sort of thing that conservatives should really keep in mind. Because when we've got a Republican president and he wants to do something in terms of foreign policy of the military, we say, yeah, fine, give him as much leash as you can. Let him run. He's the commander-in-chief. Let him do his thing. But you establish precedence when you do that, and you're not going to be in power forever. And every now and then you get some guy like Barack Obama who's going to do this weird, implausible thing in Libya where we're sort of fighting a war, but the outcome of which seems to be, we don't care that much. We're not really trying to overthrow the regime as part of our military strategy, but regime change is part of our political process. It just doesn't make any sense. It's so inconsistent and weird and contradictory that you could spend, you know, and people probably will spend years trying to figure out what the hell do we think we're doing.
I think your line of we're trying to accidentally kill Gaddafi encapsulates this policy perfectly. It's definitely evolving as we speak, and I'm not sure anyone over there actually knows what it is at any given moment, which is obviously very reassuring. And the Congress is taking baby steps on this. They're now threatening to limit funding, whereas you have, of course, those 10 congressmen going to court now trying to get the troops out completely and get the president back in line with the War Powers Act. So.
Yeah, I think the thing that has to be really kept in mind here is that military activities are dangerous by nature. You know, our troops get killed all the time in training accidents. So you're over there doing things in Libya. You are putting them in harm's way, even if it's a joke of a military that doesn't have much of an ability to fight back. You are endangering the lives of American men and women who are wearing the uniform and signed up to serve the country. And if you're doing that in a way that you don't have any clear policy goals, you don't have any clear strategy, you're doing it probably in contravention of the law, that's a very, very, very serious problem. And it's something that, you know, as funny as this situation is and as ridiculous as it is, the first time we have a casualty over there, it's going to look a lot less funny.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it certainly gives you a lot of confidence that the president is going to have a really strong, comprehensive Afghan policy when he outlines that tomorrow, too. given that this limited military action is so convoluted. Kevin, have a great day. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.